The Broken Twig Podcast with your hosts, Nobs and Hirsty.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the newest episode of the Broken Twig Podcast. We really hope you enjoy this one, and also please follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Broken Twig. Post a lot of stuff there, so yeah. And also, remember to rate us, too. It helps us a lot. Tell us what you honestly think. We don't care. Just rate us. So now let's get into it. I'm Nobs. I'm with Hirsty, and let's see how Hirsty's doing. How you doing, Hirsty?
Well, you ask me the same question every time you do a podcast. You say, how are you doing? And I always have, like, answer. It's kind of the same thing every time. Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. Well, today's different. Actually, not really. I'm kind of doing good again. But I wanted to change it up a bit, and I was kind of successful.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you're good, Hirsty. That is pretty fine. But now let's get right into the meat of the bone. All right. So, recent. So,
on a part of a bone.
Whatever. It's an expression. Okay, well, now that we have no hope of attracting any new listeners with this intro, and everyone has probably paused this by now and thrown their phone out the window, let's get right into our topic. Let's get into the podcast. So,
you go first.
Okay, well, yesterday, Team Canada released their rosters for the World Juniors, and I'm pretty excited for the World Juniors. It starts pretty soon in only 13 days, and I cannot wait for Canada to absolutely destroy USA.
Yeah, now that's what I was going to say. Like, this winter break's not going to be as good because of COVID, but the one thing to look for, especially for me, is the World Juniors. It's always a very good time of the year because, one, there's no school when the World Juniors starts, and you get to watch it. And, you know, this year, it's going to be that much more important because there's nowhere really for me to go or for anyone to go in the winter unless you're breaking the social distancing rules and stuff. So I'm just going to be sitting at home all day watching football, watching World Juniors, waiting for the NHL training camp to start. You know, we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, I'm excited for Canada to absolutely dump on USA. And I have no one to cheer for on USA because the best player in that would have been on USA, Nick Robertson, is reporting to least training camp.
Yeah, well, I think that we talked about this a bit in the last episode, Ode, but I'm not sure if we did. I don't remember. Or about, like, if he should. I think it was with, like, vis-a-vis someone else, like Alexi Lafreniere. But Nick Robertson, I can see why Canada didn't want to do it. It's probably because they think that Robertson has a pretty good shot to make the team, which he is. They want to give him a fair shot at camp and be able to, like, with the Leafs, like a fair shot at playing for the Leafs. Because if he can go, because if he's at the World Juniors, he may miss part of camp. That'll really hurt him when he's trying to find a roster spot. So this isn't. I also like it, so I mean that USA isn't as good. And if USA isn't as good, that makes me happy.
Yeah, I want USA to lose every time. Screw USA.
Yeah, screw
the good. The only thing they're good for is football.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. But, okay, yeah, so Canada, they did release their roster yesterday, and to be honest, I wasn't really that surprised. But also, something else that you were talking about, how this World Juniors is going to be really good, is that something else that will contribute to it is there are a lot of people playing in the World Juniors that normally would be in the NHL right now, so they wouldn't be able to actually play in the World Juniors. But because the NHL season is delayed, they're actually going to be there, which means it'll be a lot more competitive tournament and a lot more fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one this year, and it'll probably get a lot more attention. So that's good. Good for the sport.
Yeah, because there's some players such as Kirby Dach and Bowen Byram that, like, let's be honest, they in normal times they probably would be in the NHL now, but because it's been delayed, that's going to make it that the World Juniors is going to be so much more entertaining. Same with Quinton Byfield too.
Yeah. He's that's going to be, unfortunately, there's no Lafreniere Byfield doc connection, but
yeah, I know. I'm kind of sad that
a huge amount of talent, incredible amount of talent on that team.
Well, the thing is, last time I said that it was a smart decision not to let Lafreniere go. But like this week, I've been listening and stuff, and actually, now that I think about it, maybe it is a good idea because it seems like Lafreniere is pretty much guaranteed a roster spot. So I don't get, and he hasn't played hockey in so long. So I don't get why they wouldn't just let him get some reps in before training camp and get warmed up and stuff. Like, I don't really see when it, and he'll definitely dominate at the tournament. So, like, it could help his scoring touch and stuff.
Yeah, well, maybe they want him to try him on the roster. I think they got some high hopes for missing the playoffs this year in their division. So, you know, yeah, they need Lafreniere on their team to bring them to.
But it's not like Lafreniere's going to miss the actual regular season. He'll probably just miss like the first 5 days of camp or something. I really don't.
I think they just don't want him to get injured.
But I don't. He could get injured in training camp too, and this may actually make it so he won't be as likely to get injured because he'll get warmed up and stuff and be already into it. But if he has to go straight into camp, well, without playing hockey for like 8 months. That means that there's a pretty high chance that he can get injured.
Yeah. Well, we don't know what they're thinking. They also signed Jack Johnson, so they've done some pretty stupid decisions recently.
Yeah. Except for the Jack Johnson signing. That was an amazing decision because Jack Johnson,
sorry.
Best defenseman in the league.
Signing. It's a great signing. Yeah, well, so just looking, I'm sure if you're listening to this, I don't really want to go and name everyone on the roster, but since if you're listening, you probably know who the roster is. And on goalies, yeah, there's some guys that typically you don't have the greatest goalies for World Juniors because it's just a few games. You only really need one goalie. If one goalie gets hot, you just ride them. Like last year with Canada, that's what they did.
Yeah, and especially because goalies take so much longer to develop. Like, I don't really think it's as big of a deal. And sometimes, like last year, Joel Hofer, I didn't really even know who he was. And most people in the NHL community probably didn't either. But he just came in and was really good. So, and same with like earlier before this podcast started, me and Hirsty, we were just looking over some of the old Canada teams and thinking about stuff. And a lot of the times, the goalies, it's like, these guys were on Team Canada. Like, nowadays, these guys are basically ECHLers. Because when you look back, and a lot of the time, the top goalie prospects or top goalies were, like, sixth-round picks, seventh-round picks. Like, they were not regarded as prospects at all coming in. Now, I know that this year, Canada's, goalie prospects is a bit more shallow than normal. Like, their prospects, like, everyone, it's, like, seventh-round picks and stuff. But I really don't think it's that good. You should stress about it. Canada, they'll find a way to win. And the rest of their team is so stacked that it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this team is incredibly stacked. So, on the defense alone, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, at least 4 of them, yeah, were just drafted this year, which is Braden Schneider, Gouley, Drysdale, and Justin Barron. That's 4 out of 8, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4 to 8. And then there's 2 others, Byram and Thomas Harley, are both in the top 50 of the Hockey News prospect rankings. Byram's actually number 1, and Harley's down at 30. And then they have 2 other guys who are just there's. So their top 6 defensemen are all first rounders.
Canada only has 2 skaters that are not first round picks.
Yeah.
They only have 2. That's just
21 first round picks, I think, this year. And that's like the most ever.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a second round pick and a fourth round pick, and everyone else is a first round pick. That's just crazy. That Canada's team, it's so stacked. They have players that will be playing on the fourth line that would be on a lot of other teams' first line. Just like think about it. Like, I know how there's going to be room for anyone to score, and there'll probably be a bit of fan base if they're like, oh, why is so and so not doing anything? You know why? It's because Canada's so stacked that they're probably going to be playing 10 minutes a night. But that just happens sometimes when you're on super stacked teams.
Yeah, well, first round picks don't always become much in the NHL, but typically they tend to do really well in the juniors. Perfect example of this would be Curtis Lazar, fifth overall pick. He was so good in the juniors, and he has not done jack in the NHL.
Yeah,
he's bouncing around Buffalo to Ottawa to Buffalo. Dude, he's a fourth
line. He's a fourth line slash healthy scratch guy now. And yeah. So that happens sometimes. But there's a lot of guys that had a lot of big prospect pedigree, but they never put it together in the NHL. But they still did a lot for Team Canada. Like Lazar, he was the captain 1 year. He played for Canada two separate times. And the first time he was a point per game, and the other time he had 9 points in 7 games. So, but now he's basically just on the Buffalo Sabres. He played 38 games for them last year, had 10 points, and had 18 games for Rochester, which is their AHL team, and had 14 points. But like a lot of these guys, we're going to be looking on and be like, oh, wow, how are these guys on Canada? Now they're basically just like AHLers. But it's because all of these guys, they were really good prospects right now. I don't know what my point is, but I'm just – well, I just keep talking to make me sound more smart.
I don't know. Like, will they mesh together, though? Like, in
They will. When you put a bunch of great players together, they'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah. I remember in 2011, that Canada team, that juniors team was so good. Like, they were amazing, and they were really good. And in the finals, I actually went to the finals game, and they were dominating Russia. And then their Russia's captain got hurt, a few injuries, and then they completed this huge comeback, and Canada blew it. So you don't really know. Like, yeah, they'll be great, but there's always a chance for them to blow it because...
Well, when it's a short tournament like that, there's always a chance of you getting upset, especially when the games are single elimination. There's always a chance that Canada can lose in the quarterfinals to Austria. It might not happen, but there is a pretty good...
That's stretching a little bit.
No, there is a non-zero chance that Canada could not even make it to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, who are they in a division with? I think they're in a division.
They're in a division with Slovakia, Finland, Switzerland, and Germany.
Okay, never mind. I think they're probably gonna win their division, but Finland could give them a run for their money. Finland has 3 Leafs prospects, so
yeah. And if someone's a Leafs prospect, that automatically makes them be the greatest of all time.
Exactly. And last time Finland had a Leafs prospect, probably not last time. Like one of the times a few years ago, they won because of a Leafs prospect, Kasperi Kapanen. So
yeah,
they also don't have Sebastian Aho this year, but. And Patrick Laine, but it's still possible.
Yeah, they still have Ronnie Hirvonen and Topi Niemelä and Mikko Kokkonen, who are all amazing because they are on the Leafs. But if they get traded to the Oilers, that automatically means that they suck and they're complete bums.
Yeah.
But speaking of before, of guys who would normally be in the NHL, they have Ville Heinola, who made the Jets out of camp last year despite being picked in the late 20s, but normally he would probably be on the Jets right now, or he could be on their AHL team, but like there's a chance that he probably wouldn't be at this tournament normally, but because the season got delayed, he is going to be here. That's going to make it be a very interesting tournament because he'll be the number one defenseman for Finland, and if he has a really good game, he could push Finland past Canada in the round robin game that they play together.
Yeah, so one team I think that's going to give Canada a run for their money that always does is Russia. Like, this is a stacked team, and I know that they're not nearly as good as Canada, but they still have, like, they could be a super team if what's his name? Kaprizov was still eligible. Imagine
well, if Kaprizov is 23. He's not. Well, the Canada would be stacked if Connor okay, McDavid fine, and Jack fine, Eichel. Fine. Were, oh, wait, Jack Eichel's a man.
How old is Denisenko? Is he 20?
I think he is.
Yeah, if he was like last year was his last year, I think if he was still playing.
And yeah, well, you can't say if. Well, if he was born a bit later than blah blah blah. Well, if I had the height and athleticism of Shaquille O'Neal, I'd be a top NBA prospect right now.
You know what? Screw you. This team's still good. They have Amirov, Podkolzin. They have Chinnikov, who they didn't even have a face for him at the draft.
Yeah.
Now they have him. They have Kuznetsov, second rounder, Mikhail Abramov, some other guys whose names I can't pronounce. And then on defense, they have a bunch of other names I cannot pronounce. They have Shakir, the plunger name.
Mukka Madulin.
Yeah, Mukka Madulin. And their goalies are really good. I don't know how to pronounce their third goalie's name because it looks...
I'll try it. Everybody listening at home, this is the third goalie for the Russian national team. Veselvolod Skotnikov.
Definitely not how it's pronounced, but good attempt. They have Askarov.
Oh, wait, actually, hold on. They have a pronunciation thing. I'll see. I'll put my mic to it. Be quiet. Oh, wait, hold on. This isn't working. Oh, wait, no. I can't do it. You need to have a premium elite prospects account to do it. Well, all right. Guess not.
Yeah, their point is good. They could do well. Like Russia always plays really well. So,
And with Askarov in net, that could be
if he's not crap like he was last year. Yeah, and another team that has a really good goalie is Sweden, Hugo Alnefelt.
Well, Sweden is. They also have Jesper Wallstedt, a top prospect for the 2021 draft. And I think that he could be better than Askarov, but he'll probably fall due to a stigma around goalies in the draft, which is kind of warranted. But future considerations has him on fourth overall in the draft, and he is a certified stud. This year, as a draft-eligible prospect, a goalie too, who normally don't do that well in top European leagues against men, he has in 9 games, he has a 2.06 goals against others and a 920 save percentage. And in 1 game in Sweden's U20 league, he got a shutout. So he's just amazing. And this isn't like a new thing either. Last year, in 28 games in that same U20 Swedish league, he had a 923 save percentage and a 2.53 goals against average. Like, this guy is legit. He could be really good. And if he continues to be so good and is really good in the World Juniors, he could go top 5 in the draft.
Yeah, well, he is their third goalie, as Waldenfeld was really good last year. I felt like the goal that they lost the tournament on was kind of a weak one, but he played really well. Like, their team's fine this year, but I feel like it was much better last year.
Well, yeah, because they also Rasmus Sandin, they had him last year, and he was so good.
They had Fagamo, and they had Sandin last year, and this year they replaced them with.
No, well, they replaced them with good guys. They replaced them with Lucas Raymond and Alexander last year, and Helgi Grands.
Raymond played last year, though.
Pretty sure he didn't.
No, I remember. Lucas Raymond played with Fagamo.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did.
I watched all the Sweden games last year because I wanted to watch Sandin, and he was really good.
Yeah, Sandin was really good. The tournament. But still, they also got Zion Nybeck, too. Hey,
good for him. He's not as amazing as you think he is.
Well, I just think he's a really good prospect, and if he wasn't 5'8", he wouldn't have been drafted in the fourth round. He's been playing against men since he was 14 years old.
All right, that's fair. Well, their defense is really nice. They have Helge Grans, Victor Soderstrom, Tobias Bjornfoot, Philip Broberg. It's a solid defense. They wish they had Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren, but they don't. Was Liljegren on the team last year?
No, Liljegren was too old last year.
Yeah, last year was 2 years ago was his last year of eligibility. He's 1 year older than Sandin, I think.
Yeah, he is. So, but 2 years ago, he wasn't even on their team, though. Because he was probably...
Every year in the draft, Kyle Dubas...
He was injured.
The full Team Europe, the full Sweden. He drafts someone from Team Sweden, Team Finland, or Team Russia.
Yeah, I know. Kyle Dubas, like, it just... Whenever he sees his perfect type is a 5'8 player from either Sweden, Finland, or Russia that plays either left D or the wing and is really good at moving the puck and plays the game smartly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty much everyone Kyle Dubas drafts. Then occasionally he'll get someone from like the USHL or something like that. But pretty much that's only who he drafts.
Yeah, Kyle Dubas is so much better drafter than Mark Hunter. And
Well, the thing is, people say, oh, Dubas, you only like small players and stuff. But just because he's smart, because he knows that certain type of players normally drop in the draft. So he takes advantage and gets those players. Then he can always trade them for bigger players and stuff like that.
Yeah, because Mark Hunter always drafted the big players, and that really didn't work with Gauthier.
Well, an example of this is Emily Rasmussen, who he got with a second round pick, and he just hasn't turned out at all. I think now he's playing in like the Danish league or something, and has like 1 point in 18 games. Like he's basically just big, and that's it.
Well, yeah, but also Gauthier, he was nothing.
Well, I don't think that. I don't think Mark Hunter was in charge of the Leafs when Gauthier got picked, but he's an example of someone that was picked just because they're big. Yeah. Emily Rasmussen, he was picked 59th overall, and currently in 12 games in the Swedish Liga, he has 0 points. Last year, he had 17 games in the KHL, 0 points, 14 games in the second Finnish League, 3 points, 7 games in the Denmark League, one assist. So this, like, it's pretty much time to give up on him. It doesn't, he's 6'7", and that's pretty much it. Like, it seems, judging from this, that he can't score at all. So I think that he's one of those prospects who just bad pick. He wasn't even that good in his draft year anyways. It's time to give up on him and focus on some other prospects.
You know who I'm thinking of? These guys were both first rounders.
Who?
Tyler Biggs and Stuart Percy. This is what happens when you draft for size. Three perfect examples is Gauthier, Biggs, and Percy, drafted 21st, 22nd, and 25th. Biggs and Percy were both drafted in the same year, too, 2011. And they got Josh Levo in round three, who's better than both of them combined.
Yeah, I remember Stuart Percy.
Percy, Gauthier, and Biggs have done jack. And they're all big guys, big, strong guys. And what have they
Percy's
done?
Percy's only 6'1".
That's just close enough. I don't care.
Just would like to point that out, but that is true right
he's
now.
He's 6'1", 200 pounds. That's
He's 27 and he's already in the Liga. His North American career is pretty much done because he hasn't really been tearing it up there. So, yeah. But he did play, but he is Canadian and from Toronto.
Yeah, didn't your brother love Stuart Percy?
I don't know, but he went to St. Mike's too. So, you know what
Notable
happens with
players
people.
That went in the first round, that went in the first round after them, that are much better than them. Philip Deneau went right after Percy. Nemesnikov, 2 picks after Percy. And then 5 picks after Percy is Ricard Raquel.
Okay, looks good.
That was the Leafs pick, by the way. Oh, yeah. And same with the oh my God. The Leafs from this draft, they originally had Dougie Hamilton, the pick of Dougie Hamilton, the pick of Ricard Raquel. They had to pick up Gibson too, I think.
I think they might have.
Yeah, they did, which is 39th overall.
Well, okay, I'm just going to say.
Gibson, Raquel, and Dougie Hamilton, and instead they got a few years of decent Phil Kessel, Tyler Biggs, and Stuart Percy.
That's a pretty good trade.
Pretty good trade-off.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good that you stopped me there. Because
of those guys for just Rickard Rakell.
It's good you stopped me there because I was going to make a St. Mike's joke. So
yeah, don't. We don't need that.
This is a family-friendly podcast, everybody.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, all right, let's go.
We could have had Nikita Kucherov. I'm just going to stop scrolling at all the missed guys the Leafs could have got. Never draft for size. You draft for skill.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's not about the size of the boat. It's about the motion of the ocean.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Yeah.
Oh, another guy. The more you look at the guys the Leafs draft, the big guys the Leafs draft, the worse it gets. Renat Valiev, third-round pick. Garbage. Yeah. Okay. What's next? Oh, well, I'm right now looking at Dmytro Timoshov, and speaking of him, he was just traded to the Islanders for nothing.
Yeah, for future consideration. And you know that it's a slow off season when that is the biggest news of the week. But yeah, Dmytro Timoshov, Leafs legend.
Well, not true, actually. The biggest news of the week is the Max Pacioretty rumors.
Yeah, that's true. We should address those. So it's rumored that, well, I don't know, but I don't really know if we should talk about it because those were basically put to bed, so.
They were?
Yeah, well, the owner said that they weren't true, but who knows? He might have just gone mad that they were leaked.
Same thing about Pacioretty?
What?
Didn't the Habs say the same thing about Pacioretty?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah.
But so Pacioretty, that's not really a good look for the team, though. You don't want to be trading away good players that often. It's really not that good. And especially
the Alex Pietrangelo contract fucks them over even more.
Yeah, I don't know if they will trade Pacioretty, but I don't know. Like, if they trade Maximilian Kolenda Pacioretty, that may have a negative effect on their locker room.
Also may have a negative effect on their skill on the ice.
Yeah, and I don't even know.
Scoring from their forwards, getting rid of one of their top goal scorers won't help.
Yeah, and I don't even – he's it may be tough to get something for him because he's making $7 million until 2023. Plus, he has a modified no-trade clause anyways. So there's a so like I don't know what teams are gonna want to give up, even though he is pretty good. We've seen pretty good players be traded for pretty much nothing this offseason, like Paul Stastny, Nate Schmidt, Ryan Murray. So based on other moves that I'm seeing, this isn't what I'm actually saying he is, but I think that he is worth a second round pick right now, just based off his contract and the market and stuff, and that's really negative value. Considering that they gave up Nick Suzuki and Thomas Tatar to get him.
Well, I disagree with you on the value, but yeah, I was going to bring that up. They gave up Nick Suzuki and Thomas Tatar to get Max Pacioretty, and now they're getting rid of him? They better make it worth it because you lost a very good prospect and another good player.
Oh, yeah. Plus, also, not even to mention that for Thomas Tatar, they traded like two firsts also.
Yeah.
Not even to mention that also. So I don't really see why they trade Pacioretty. I think that they can make it work otherwise.
This is when, after being a new franchise, a new team, and not having a care in the world about really anything because you're a new team, this is when it starts to catch up to you. And you actually have to deal with hard stuff to deal with.
Actually have to deal with hard stuff to deal with. The Broken Twig Podcast, everybody, where we are masters of speechington.
Yeah, well, they actually have to, like, do something now because I don't know why they signed Pietrangelo. It kind of screwed them over. And if they trade Pacioretty, their team is just getting worse.
Yeah, well, they're about $1 million over the cap space, but I'm pretty sure that is assuming a roster of 20, it's assuming a roster of 21 million. So that means that they are going to have to trade somebody, but I don't know why it's patch ready. Can't they trade like Nick Holden? He's making 1.7 million and he, like, he'll be like a sixth round pick, but at least it's better to lose Nick Holden than it is to lose Max Pacioretty.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, I guess their reasoning is that they think that Cody Glass is really going to step up next year. But I just, that means that he better step up. You should never be relying on a prospect to give you most of your scoring. You should have the infrastructure in place. And then
he's a rookie.
No, I think he was a rookie last year.
Oh, but his eligibility is cut?
I'm pretty sure it is. He played 39 games for them last year.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. So he's not a rookie, but he's still like a prospect basically.
Yeah. He's still like kind of a prospect. But that's exactly why you should never trust someone under that you should never trust someone under the age of 23 years old that hasn't been in the league for at least 2 years. You should never trust them to give you scoring. You should never fill out a spot and be like, all right, this guy, he is going to be in the top six and he is going to be really good in the top six.
Well, there's exceptions. But and I think he would be an exception, but still,
I don't even think there is exception.
Hasn't been that incredible.
People thought that Jack Hughes was going to come in and be really good, and he wasn't. I don't really see any exceptions for that. You should never trust
Austin Matthews.
Not even Austin Matthews could have just been really bad right off the gate. You don't even know that.
But he got a rookie record for goals in the first game.
Yeah, he did. And then Nick Robertson, the Leafs, they don't really even have a roster spot for him. But he could be really good in camp and earn that roster spot. And that's really good. But the Leafs, they're fine without Nick Robertson. They're fine without Rasmus Sandin. But let's say Nick Robertson and Rasmus Sandin.
Too much.
What?
Like, they're banking on him a bit.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's that they're by trading Pacioretty, that means that they're banking on Glass way too much. And they're also banking on Carlson having a bounce back year, too.
Yeah, they're, like, putting all their money on – they're betting all their money on one horse. Not fully, yeah. Because it's not like they need him to be the cornerstone of their team, but they're banking on him to be, like, pretty valuable to the team. They need him to score.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, who knows? Cody Glass, better do well. Your team needs you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, next we could talk about the upcoming January 13th is a set date for
January 13th. So I can't wait. That's going to be – can't wait until there is Leafs hockey again. And I can yell and cry when the Leafs get destroyed 5-0 by the Ottawa Senators. And then I'm going to be all happy when the Leafs won a 4-game winning streak. Then when they go on a 3-game losing streak after, I'm going to burn all my jerseys up. And I cannot wait for it.
Yeah, so who are your predictions for the Final Four? Let's make our – early predictions for the Final Four, because now we know the division realignments and, we completely know the division realignments and stuff. So we can make our predictions for the Final Four. Do you have the divisions in front of you?
No.
Okay, I do. These were I think something might have been switched around with the Wild or something, but that doesn't really matter, I don't think. So it's Boston, Buffalo, New Jersey, Islanders, Rangers, Philly, Pittsburgh, and Washington, I think.
You know, it's fine. We're going to say, which teams do you think are going to be in the Final Four?
Leafs. I like Washington. Now, I didn't really like them last year because of Holtby, but if Samsonov can be good, I feel like they'll be great. I'm just worried about Samsonov so far. I don't really know. I feel like the safer pick, I think Philly would win that division, go the Final Four. Philly, Leafs, Philly, Leafs, and as of right now, Vegas.
Although Philly, Leafs, Vegas, fall, and who else?
I don't think you can't say you can say anyone other than Tampa right now.
Okay, well, there's a bunch I thought was wrong with that, but I will go over mine first.
Yeah, I know. You deride the Avs. I get it.
The Avs are such a good team. You just can't. They could have won the Stanley Cup last year if Michael Hutchinson won.
True, but they didn't. Yeah, actually, you know and what? I'll switch up. I forgot about the Devin Taves thing. I'll switch it up. I think Vegas will fall behind.
Okay, well, I'd say the Leafs, the Lightning, the Avalanche, and the Blues. I think the reasoning for the Blues, a few of you might be a bit surprised by that, but the reason why I think that the Blues will do well
is they're in the same division as the Avalanche, dumbass.
So?
They can't be in the Final Four.
No, they didn't say they never cemented the playoff format, so they still could.
Go ahead. But
let's say, well, if you're doing one from each division, then I can change it up. But I think that the Blues, because they're core, they've won a cup before. And I think that Torrey Krug will fit really well with their team. Plus, I think that Vince Dunn is going to have a breakout year.
Yeah, I was.
Same with Robert Thomas. Vince Dunn and Robert Thomas are both going to have breakout years.
Yeah.
That'll really help.
So, what do you? I'll give mine after for top four teams, but what are your four, one from each division, though?
Mm-hmm. Okay, from each division, I have the Colorado Avalanche, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then I also have in the East, this is where it's tough because I can see multiple things. Because I think at Boston, once they get Pasternak and Marchand back, they can make a late season climb. Then Washington, they've done it before, and their core is aging, but it's still pretty good. Then Pittsburgh, they have two Stanley Cups, and Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin are two of the best in the game. Then Philadelphia Flyers, they had a really good year last year. I think that they could easily make the playoffs, and they team is built really well, so, and they have young stars that could ascend too. And then also there's the Islanders, who they make the conference final last year. They play a system that's meant for the playoffs. They could. Then the Rangers, they're a young team, and they have two players, their best.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, Colorado Avalanche, Toronto Maple Leafs, Tampa Bay Lightning, and but up. I know that Hursty is contemplating quitting the podcast right now. Okay, well, from the East Division, I'd probably have to say the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, wow. I'm going to disagree with you on there. They have Cody Ceci. They're going to suck.
So, they have a lot of holes on their team. But if Evgeny Malkin...
Riddle me this. There has never been an NHL team... Actually... I'm going to have to check on this. One sec.
What was your point going to be?
One sec.
Just what was your point going to be? Tell me.
No. We need some just talk about randomly shit.
Some filler. I am great at filler. I am the best at filler. Is anyone else here really good at filler topping? Because I am pretty good at just sitting.
Okay. Technically... Such a stupid.
What was your point going to be?
No team with Cody Ceci has ever made it deep in the playoffs, but
that is not true. The Ottawa Senators did.
When he was like a sixth defenseman for Ottawa, they made it deep. So that's what.
Yeah, the Ottawa Senators.
No team has made it to the Stanley Cup Finals with Cody Ceci on their team.
Okay, well, no team has made the Stanley Cup Finals with Nathan MacKinnon on.
Shut up! Let me make my damn point. Screw you. I'm just trying to say, I don't think Pittsburgh's gonna do it.
Okay, but But
nobody cares.
Mushrooms are kind of underrated. Yeah. I mean, overrated. I meant overrated. Don't misquote a damn.
Now I really want to leave the podcast.
I know. All right, okay. Everybody. Well, so, thank you for listening.
Who did you say were your top four teams? St. Louis, Colorado.
The Leafs and the Lightning.
Okay. Yeah. So my top four, Leafs, Tampa, Colorado. Hot take here, everybody. It's going to be the Detroit Red Wings.
Okay, well, the thing is,
Red Wings.
There's always one team. Another reason for Pittsburgh is there's always like that one team that surprises and makes it all the way to the conference finals that no one really expected.
Is going to finish fourth in their division. Wait.
I could see that.
Actually, no, I can't. St. Louis, Colorado, Dallas, Vegas.
I could see the Sharks finishing fifth in their division, but I can't see them finishing fourth.
I honestly think Devin Dubnyk's going to be great next year.
I do not agree with that in any way, shape, form, or how.
The greatest defense in the NHL, Devin Dubnyk's going to put up a .987 save percentage, go 82-0 or 56-0, however long the schedule is, 56-0, .987 save percentage, and he's going to have a goals against average of 0.001. 0-1, not 0-0-1.
That's some pretty bold predictions there, but I do think that Jonas Brodin and Jared Spurgeon and Ryan Suter are absolute studs, but their goal, it's just really
bad. Wrong team. He's on San Jose now.
Yeah, I know. Devin Dubnyk's not even on them, too. That's what I was going to say also. But, yeah. Well, that's another.
I think Chicago's going to finish last in the NHL.
Really? I think that the Coyotes are.
Okay, that's it's going to be a tight race between Detroit and Chicago.
Detroit, Chicago, and Ottawa.
No, I think Ottawa better than both of them. Keep in
I
mind,
think so.
Chicago's goaltending tandem is Malcolm Subban and Colin Delia.
I know, but also the
that's
sense...
almost as bad as Carolina's. Carolina had any shape or form of decent goaltending, they would be a Stanley Cup contender.
Now, I do not agree with that at all. James Reimer and Peter Mrazek are fine goaltenders in the NHL. If you think of teams with really bad goaltending, I'd go the Buffalo Sabres, Chicago Blackhawks, Detroit Red Wings, and San Jose Sharks.
No, I think Carolina has bad goaltending.
They could use a better goaltending, but I don't think that they have bad goaltending.
I do. I don't.
You are telling me that Peter Mrazek and James Reimer are worse than Devin Dubnyk and Martin Jones.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that I want to
play even half to what they should have been, what they should play like. As of right now, fine. Yes, they're better. But I'm not saying those guys are good.
Jones and Devin Dubnyk were two of the worst goalies in the league last year.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of that, yes, they're worse. But Carolina, their mistakes, some of their goalie, they get covered up by the fact that Carolina has an amazing defense. They'd both be fine goaltenders in fine backups. But last year, Mrazek had a .905 save percentage and a 2.69 goals against. Going 21-2.
Okay, well, if you're using stats from last year, then I'm allowed to use stats from last year, too. Martin Jones and Devin Dubnyk were two of the worst goalies.
I'm not saying that those guys are better, that they're worse than Dubnyk and stuff.
You were saying. I said that Martin.
That one thing. I said if Dubnyk played to just half of what he was supposed to be last year, he would be much better than them. And I said, as of right now, they're much better.
That's not what I heard. You can't just say something and then lie about it, Hurst.
No. Listen to the podcast again and you'll hear it.
No, well, I don't want to listen to the podcast again because I don't want to hear your dumb voice.
All right. Well, right now I'm just talking about that Peter Mrazek is a bad goalie. He played 40 games, half a season last year, basically half a season because it was cut short. So, 5/6 of a season or whatever. Sorry, I'm messing. Like, we played 5/6 of a season. So he didn't play a full season, but he had terrible numbers. Reimer's numbers were not good either. Like, they were fine. They were good backup numbers, 914 save percentage, 266 goals against, but that was only in 25 games. Like, Reimer's a fine backup, and Mrazek would be a fine backup too, but neither of them are good starters. They don't have bad goaltending. They have weak goaltending.
Okay, but okay, that's not what you're changing. Like what you said before, you're saying how they have some of the worst goaltending in the league. But they don't now. Now they just have okay goaltending.
Okay, because I was wrong with what I thought that Mrazek was like really, really bad the year before, but he was not as bad.
Thank you. Now apologize to me.
I'm sorry.
I accept your
apology. You're completely wrong. Get out of here.
Okay.
That boy.
Everybody, welcome to the Broken Twig Podcast with your host, Nobes, and no one else. No one else. It's just Nobes talking for 50 minutes straight. And speaking of that, I am sorry that there has been audio issues in us for some reason. Like, I don't know why you just can't hear Hirsty that well in some of our episodes, but yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Oh my God. Well, okay. So first of all, we had a really bad intro. Then we just like talk about dumb stuff. And then now we're just hurting all everyone's ears. I'd be surprised if we still have any listeners after this.
Hey, be confident. This is a fine episode. There's not much news to talk about. We're trying to make it well, okay? I don't know what you're doing with your crappy takes out here, but, you know.
Yeah. If anything, if we're good at anything, it's stretching out a week where there's no news into a 50-minute podcast.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's some news. Like, the World Juniors is important. The season starting is important. The fact that the Leafs are going to win the Cup this year is important. The Leafs are going to win the Cup this year, by the way. Everyone portrays the Leafs fans saying this every year. Leafs are going to win the Cup. Leafs are going to win the Cup. But you know what? Portraying that stereotype. Leafs are going to win the Cup.
Yeah.
Not actually something I think. Actually, it is. I said last year that they were going to win the Cup this year. And now I'm not very confident anymore. But more confident than I was last year.
Yeah.
Although last year I thought Tyson Barrow was going to be really good, and he was very underwhelming.
Yeah, me too. I also did.
And I also thought that we should have fired Babcock after we lost in Game 7. So...
Well, I didn't think so. I thought that they should keep Babcock for longer, but you know what? You can't always be right. And I know that everyone always stinks.
I think we should give our Hirsty is correct dark horse picks of the year. And in the playoffs, I said Dallas was going to make it to the conference finals, and they did.
You did say that. But, like, and I also said that the New York Rangers
or Vegas in the Cup Finals. And look at me. I was right.
Okay, well, I said that the New York Rangers were going to make a really good playoff run, so.
I said Carolina was going to sweep them.
Yeah.
I knew Carolina was going to dominate.
I was a bit wrong on some stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you're wrong. Oh God, this is probably my worst prediction of like all time. I said Devin Dubnyk was going to be a top 7 goalie next year. Yikes, was that? That was not a good prediction.
Well, I also said that Matt Dumba was going to have an amazing season and be a Norris finalist. So
yeah, you said Will Butcher was going to break out too.
He still could. Will Butcher still could break out, but yeah,
he still could break out last year. He still could.
He still could.
He's got to go 3 years into the future with all his newfound abilities, travel back 4 years, and then break out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think my dark horse team this year. My dark horse team this year. Oh, God. I can't. I'm blacking out on the teams. I had it written down somewhere. Now I've lost my paper.
Mm-hmm.
My dark horse team of the year is
I know that you're just delaying time so you can think, but that is fine.
No. I'm looking for it. Here are all the teams. Oh, yeah. I said Carolina. Carolina is not really a dark horse, though. Washington is kind of a dark horse, but not really. I guess my dark horse would be Columbus. It just depends on if Merzlikins can break out this year. And, you know, yeah. Columbus is my dark horse team. But in the division they're in, I don't know. It's kind of worrisome.
Yeah, and it's like, I think that it may be tough for Columbus to make a run this year, even make the playoffs. Like, I could see them finishing bottom three in their division. But actually, no, that's not true. They have Minnesota, Florida, Chicago, Detroit, Nashville. So
they're in that division?
Yeah, they are. I'm pretty sure they are, so. Yeah.
Well, then I think that they could. Yeah, they definitely could go deep because they could win that division for sure.
Mm-hmm.
In their division, Tampa, Carolina, that division?
Yeah.
They can't win that division, but.
They can't win it, but they could definitely make the playoffs.
They could finish top two or top three.
Yeah, they could. Okay, well, I think that this episode's been going long enough, though. I think that now is time to end it. Everybody,
we'll have much better episodes soon when the World Junior. In the next few weeks, we're gonna do our fantasy special.
Oh yeah, next week, everybody, look forward to it. We are doing our fantasy special. Everyone, tell all your friends, tell your mama, tell your daughter. We are doing a fantasy special. We are gonna do a lot of research into it. We're gonna put a lot of time into it. So do listen to it. We hope it'll be really good.
It'll probably be next week or either Monday or Tuesday because we still have winter break doesn't start till Saturday.
Yeah. So but we'll try and
post it on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah. We'll get it out. We'll get it out to you before Christmas. That's what we'll say. We'll get it. We'll get the fantasy preview to you before Christmas. So listen to it for all of our predictions, all of our views. So everybody, and also we hope you enjoyed this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Remember to rate and review us. Sorry if there's any audio issues and you can't hear Hirsty. I know why you'd want to hear him anyways, but if there is any of those, there has been some of them in the past, then we are sorry and goodbye.